Look at your neighbor and say, do you know? I want to just share some things about Jesus before we get into the word today. In chemistry, he turned water into wine. In biology, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disproved the law of gravity when he ascended to heaven. In economics, he disproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with two fishes and loaves of bread, five loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and blind without administering a single dose of medicine or drugs. In history, he is the beginning and the end. In government, he said that he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. In religion, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Who is he? He is Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you were to pick up a newspaper in the days of Jesus, you might see this obituary. Jesus Christ, 32 of Nazareth, died Friday on Mount Calvary, also known as Golgotha, the place of the skull. Betrayed by the apostle Judas, Jesus was crucified by the Romans by order of the ruler Pontius Pilate. The causes of death were crucifixion, extreme exhaustion, severe torture, and loss of blood. Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham, was a member of the house of David. He was the son of the late Joseph, a carpenter of Nazareth, and Mary, his devoted mother. Jesus was born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem of Judea. He is survived by his mother Mary, his faithful apostles, numerous disciples, and many other followers. Jesus was self-educated and spent most of his adult life working as a teacher. Jesus also occasionally worked as a medical doctor, and it was reported that he healed many patients up until the time of his death. Jesus was teaching and sharing the good news, healing the sick, touching the lonely, feeding the hungry, and helping the poor. Jesus was most noted for his telling parables about his Father's kingdom and performing miracles such as feeding over 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish, and healing a man who was born blind. On the day before his death, he held a Last Supper, celebrating the Passover feast at which he foretold his death. The body was quickly buried in a stone grave, which was donated by Joseph of Arimathea, a loyal friend of the family, by order of Pontius Pilate. A boulder was rolled in front of the tomb. Roman soldiers were put on guard. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested that everyone try to live as Jesus did. Donations may be made to sent to anyone in need. So in Jesus' day, you might read that obituary. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come before you. We thank you for your mighty word. You are mighty to save. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And today, Father, may you have your way in us in this service, and may Jesus be glorified and honored through all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Mark chapter 12. This is a message before the message. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now when Jesus was back at the treasury, do you think he was focused on the money that people were giving? No. He was focused on their heart. You know, because true giving has to occur in the heart. If it doesn't occur in the heart, it's not going to occur on the external. But see, Jesus was the ultimate giver. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There wasn't anything that God has held back from you. He said, the Bible says that if he was willing to give his only begotten son, how much more shall he give you all things freely to enjoy? See, now he watched people cast in money. Some, you know, they had enough and they were casting in a lot. But it was something about their heart that he noticed. And this woman who gave the least, he said that she gave the most because she gave with all of her heart. See, she put in out of her want and out of her necessity. She did it because she wanted to. She knew that there was something greater on the other side. And I say that because in this church here, we take up our tithes and offerings anytime during the service. We have that wooden container back there that's in front of the sword. I call it our seed planter. And anytime during the service, you can put your tithes and your offerings in there. You say, well, does God consider my gift? Jesus was. He was there watching. He was there looking. And, you know, the Bible says, give and it. Everybody say it. What is your it that you need today? Name your it. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will cause man to give a new birth. If you want friends, what do you need to give? Friendship. You need to take a risk, and you need to stretch out your hand and say, hi, how you doing? My name's Doug. Bible says if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Oh, you ever hear people say, no one loves me. Well, how are you loving others? If you want more love, then why don't you give some away? Because the more love you give, the more you're going to get it back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Does God need your money? No, because his streets are paved with gold, the most pure gold. But he does need a means of to get a blessing to you. He does need, and his kingdom operates on seed time and harvest. You plant a seed, it grows, and it comes back more than you put in. You know, one kernel of corn planted in the ground can produce a stalk with 2 or 3 ears that has, I don't know how many thousands of corn on those ears. Now that's multiplication, isn't it? So today, on Resurrection Day, you know, we thank you for your tithes and your offerings, and just go ahead and put them in there anytime. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the ability that you've given us to get wealth and to get strength. And Lord, we honor you with our substance, the first fruits of all of our increase, so that our barns may be filled with plenty and our vats burst out with new wine. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now we get into the meat. Are you ready to eat? Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin in verse 1. I wish there was a way that the pages of your Bible wouldn't stick together. I'll tell you what, I'm excited about today. And I'm excited to be able to worship with each one of you. You are a good-looking group, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, you're good-looking. Say, Christian cooking makes you good-looking. It does, really. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul was talking here to the church at Corinth, and he began by saying, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he was seen of different people." But what is the gospel? Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel." We know it's good news. We know it's glad tidings. But the gospel is this: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, who died for our sins. That is the gospel. That is the good news. And in that gospel, in that message, contains all the goodness and the blessing of God. If you believe the gospel, you have access into heaven's riches. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, that's simple." Exactly. God doesn't want anybody to miss out on the best thing going in this earth. This is the best thing going. This is the best deal you could ever enter into. Eternal life begins right now. Say, "Eternal life begins right now." It doesn't begin when you die. This is preparation for that time. But eternal life begins now, right now, today. And the gospel, he did everything according to the Scriptures. He did everything according to God's law. He did everything according to what God said. And thank God that on the third day, which is today, he rose again. Hallelujah. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Book of Isaiah chapter 53. Just 12 verses here. I just want to read all those 12 verses. Isaiah chapter 53. "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely," everybody say surely, "he has borne our sorrows and carried our griefs. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid the iniquity of us all on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and all who shall declare his generation, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is what Jesus Christ did. Now, I want to propose something to you today. What if Jesus had never risen? What would happen today? Well, first of all, I'd be out of a job. We could just go out and have a party. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to look at verse 12. What if Christ didn't do what he said he would do? Today I want to tell you, without a doubt, he came out. I want to lay a case before you that is not based on circumstantial evidence, but it's based on fact, it's based on actual occurrence, and there are several witnesses, and as I lay this case before you, you will know that without a doubt, he came out. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that Christ did not raise. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet you are in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So if Christ did not raise, see, the resurrection is the pivotal moment of Christianity. It's where everything is hinged on. It's what everything rests on. He demonstrated himself to be the Son of God when he rose from the dead. Romans 1:4 says he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And it is a foundational stone on which the church is built. The apostles gave the resurrection their greatest importance and their greatest, they put it at the forefront. So if Christ did not rise, then our preaching would be vain. What I would be doing up here today would be empty. It would be senseless. It would be without power. It would be without conviction. My preaching would be in vain. We could just go in and have a party and just eat, drink, and be merry, because life wouldn't mean anything if he had not raised. But without a doubt, he did come out. Paul said that their preaching would be vain or empty. There would be no power, no conviction. The victory that Christ gained was evidenced by the resurrection. This is what was said in Foundations of Pentecostal Theology. It took the victory of the open tomb and the power of the risen Lord to give effectuality to the gospel. Hallelujah. It gives the gospel some oomph. It gives the gospel the power to touch a heart and to change a life. If Christ is not risen from the dead, then I would have nothing to say. But how many know that that's not true? I do have a lot to say, because without a doubt, he came out, and I'm here to testify that my Jesus, my Savior, has risen from the dead, and because he raised, he wants to take you up higher. He wants to come down in the miry clay. He wants to lift you up and set your feet upon the rock. I get excited about Jesus, and I'm not ashamed. Well, I don't like that preacher. He shouts. Well, you just wait to get to heaven. The shouting that occurs here can't be compared to what's going to be going on in heaven. I mean, the angels throw a party when one person makes Jesus Christ their Lord. There's a scripture that says that in heaven they shook the foundations of the building because they were so loud. Oh, but the world will get loud over its favorite athlete or favorite car or favorite team. You'll hear them shout till they lose their voice. But that's temporary. It's okay to shout for your team, all right? But I got a greater team, amen? You go ahead and shout for your team because I'm going to shout for my team. My team is Captain Jesus, hallelujah. Thank God he rose from the dead because I have something to say about it. And I have not yet said my final answer. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 14, he said, that your faith would be vain or empty. If Christ had not risen, then your faith, all that you have accepted by faith as a free gift from God through Jesus Christ, would be nothing. Divine sonship, eternal life, justification, sanctification, glorification, a home in heaven, redemption, and complete forgiveness you did not receive if your faith is in vain, because if he had not risen, your faith would be in vain. You would have nothing to rest your faith on. You would have no hope. This life would be the end. There would be nothing else. But thank God, he did raise from the dead. Without a doubt, he came out. Therefore, your faith can be energized. Your faith can be empowered by what he did in the empty tomb. See, because it's the faith that rests on the gospel message that saves you. You can't be good enough. You know, if I was to go down to the garage where they repair cars, and I would put on a hat, and I would act like a mechanic, that wouldn't make me any more like a mechanic, would it? You know? If I was to go to the airport, put my arms out and make a sound like a plane, I would not become a plane. No more than going to church makes you a Christian. It's your faith in the message that makes you a Christian. It's your faith that sits on the truth that makes you a Christian. It's your belief in Jesus Christ that makes you a Christian. It's your belief that he rose from the dead makes you a Christian. Nothing else can make you a Christian. Not works. Nothing. Your faith has to rest on the gospel message. That's what saves you. Go with me to Romans 1:16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is what Paul said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Paul, why aren't you ashamed? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Everybody say, everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, what if you don't believe? It doesn't change the truth of the resurrection. It just ceases from it benefiting you. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you don't have to receive any benefits. You don't have to receive of God's goodness, of his grace. But your unbelief in the resurrection doesn't change the fact that it occurred. It just prevents you from experiencing the goodness and the power that comes with the resurrection. You know, Paul prayed to the church of Ephesus. He prayed that their eyes of understanding would be opened, that they would know the hope of their calling, that they would know the riches of the inheritance in the saints, and that they would know the resurrection power. Come on, you can get acquainted. You can experience God's resurrection power. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal body. He'll cause you to be alive. He'll energize you. The Energizer Bunny has nothing on the resurrection. If a bunny can keep going because of a battery, how much more can we keep going because of Jesus? I don't know. I feel like preaching today. Amen. Sometimes you feel like teaching, but I'm just so excited, I can't even put it into words. you could take a picture on the inside of me, it'd be like a volcano. If Christ did not rise, these things are not yours. Faith is impotent unless its object gives it power. If Christ did not rise, then your faith would be vain. It means you can't please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It takes faith to please Him. And so if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, then our faith would be vain. We would be hopeless. It would be useless to believe. It would be of no advantage to believe if He had not risen. If He had not risen, He would be considered an imposter because He repeatedly declared that He would rise. He said it over and over again. He said, destroy this temple in 3 days and I'll rebuild it. I'll bring it back. But thank God that our faith is not vain because He did rise, because without a doubt, He came out. Amen. And then number 3 in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said that if Christ did not raise, then the apostles would be considered false witnesses. They would be committing perjury. You know what perjury is? When you go into a court of law, they make you raise your right hand. You say you promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. I do. And if you're found to not be telling the truth in that court, you can be committed perjury. That's a crime. You could receive punishment or imprisonment. And if Jesus did not raise, Paul said the apostles would be false witnesses. They would be a laughingstock to all. They would have no credibility. Because part of being an apostle for those particular apostles was to be a witness of the resurrection. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. Deuteronomy tells us, he says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. That's a commandment. Proverbs 6:19. Well, let's just go back to verse 16. These are some things that really tick the Lord off. God gets ticked off? Oh, yeah. Notice what it says. These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, and look at verse 19, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. So a false witness is something that God hates. So if Jesus never rose from the dead, the apostles would be false witnesses. They would be guilty of a crime. But yet, you know, in the first century after the resurrection, no one was able to disprove the resurrection. No one in history was able to disprove that it happened, because it did. Because without a doubt, He came out. And thank God. And then Proverbs 19:5 just tells us, you don't have to turn there, it says a false witness will not go unpunished. So if Jesus did not rise, then the witness of the apostles would be false and they would be punished. They would be misrepresenting what He did. They would have been preaching what was opposite of what God was doing if He hadn't risen. But thank God, He did rise. Because without a doubt, he came out. And therefore, what the apostle said is true. Therefore, their testimony is sure. Therefore, you can rest on it. You can build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and you will not be moved. You will not be shaken, because it's planted on the rock. It's not going anywhere. People have tried to stop the Bible from coming to pass, but we still have it today. It's still the number one seller in all the world. Because it is the truth, it is the absolute truth, you can rest your life on it. Hallelujah. Then Paul also said in that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, he said, believers are yet in their sins if Christ had not risen. You'd still be in your sin. We would not be new creatures, but we would remain old ones. The old would not pass away. We would still have the guilt, the shame, and the condemnation that comes with sin. We would still be a slave to sin. We would still be carrying around that burden if Christ had not risen. But thank God, without a doubt, he came out. Say that. Say, without a doubt, he came out. Hallelujah. So yeah, we would yet be in our sins. We would still be under the law of sin and death instead of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 10. Romans 5:10. He talks about how we have peace with God. And he said in verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Notice, his life, speaking of, he's not dead anymore, because he's risen. If he had not risen, then we would be enemies of God. And that's a losing battle. You can't fight against God and win. You can't resist God and win. You know, the Bible says if a person gains the whole world but loses his soul, he's gained nothing. There is more to this life than what we see. There is an eternity. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is. Jesus Christ did what he said he was going to do. He is who he said he was. Because without a doubt, he came out. And because he came out, we are no longer in our sin. He destroyed sin. He destroyed the power of sin. He nailed our sins to the cross. He paid our debt. Hallelujah. His blood destroys the power of sin. It makes you a free man, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are not a sinner saved by grace. Why? Because if anybody be in Christ, they are a new creature. Didn't say that they are an old sinner. They're a new creature. You have a new makeover. You have a new nature. Something on the inside of you became brand new in an instant. Now you got to take the new that's in you and you got to renew your mind and subdue your body. Because the renewing of the mind and the subduing of the body proves what his good will is. If Christ had not risen, we would have no pardon. We would have no relief from sin. Sin will cause you to go where you didn't want to go, pay more than you wanted to pay, do what you did not want to do. Sin blinds you. Sin is a dead end. But thank God, without a doubt, he came out. Therefore, we are no longer under the dominion of sin. We are now under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can be led of Him. He can bring you into all truth. He can teach you what's yours. He can show you the plan that God has for you, and you can go and do what God's called you to do. It's time that the church, that believers start doing what they're called to do. Stop doing what you're not called to do. Each one of us are going to sit before God one day. And the first thing He's going to say is, what did you do with my son? Then He's going to say, what did you do with what I called you? And you're not going to have to say, We are going to be judged for what we do in this earth. So you better find out what God has for you now. You have to work while it's still light, because darkness is coming. Times are coming that aren't going to be so pleasant. They're going to be the most terrible times that this earth has ever seen. And we need to get ready. See, Jesus is coming back. Just like He rose from the dead, He said, I'm coming back. You better believe it. When is He coming back? I don't know, but you better get ready now. Because there is no guarantee of tomorrow. No guarantees. There's a lot of crazy people in this world. A lot of strange things can happen. You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time and something happened to you, and it's not going to be God's fault, because you're hearing the message today. So today you need to make a decision, because Jesus Christ, without a doubt, He came out. So therefore, your faith, you can put your faith in Him and He'll see you through. He is a sure foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. He's a strong tower. But in order to get peace, you've got to run to Him. You'll never have peace running away from God. Just ask Jonah. You start running from God and storms will come up. And you know, Jonah didn't doubt what the cause was. It's like, yeah, throw me overboard. I'm out of God's will. You know when you're out of God's will or not. I don't care what kind of show you put on or mask you wear. You know whether or not you're doing what God wants you to do. So start doing it. Don't delay any further. Start doing it. And the fifth thing that Paul said, if Christ had not risen, those who have died are perished. Death is it. Death is the end. The atheists were right. If Christ had not risen, there is no hope of tomorrow. If Christ has not risen, it's better to sorrow as those who have no hope than to sorrow as those who have a false hope. If Christ had not risen, then according to John 11, He would not be the resurrection and the life when He came to raise Lazarus from the dead. He would not be the giver of, He would not be the bread of life. Once we die, that's it. So you might as well just live it up now if Christ had not risen. But thank God, without a doubt, He came out. You're going to leave today saying, without a doubt, He came out. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If Christ had not risen, then all who died as a martyr died in vain, because they died not denying Him. They died believing in Him. Stephen, who was the first martyr, he said, Father, lay not this charge to their account. He died believing in Jesus. If Jesus had not risen, then his death would be in vain. That would be it. But thank God, it's not it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. It says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So if Christ hadn't risen, then death would be the end. But because He's risen, that means He's going to bring you with Him. You're going to be raised with him. You're going to, if you die before he comes back, you're going to meet him in the air. You're going to be resurrected, because he said with a trump, with a shout from God, he'll descend, and those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with him. So those who have died in Christ, believing, they're with him now, but then they're going to get a glorified body. Ooh, they're going to upgrade. Hallelujah. My glorified body is going to have features that this body doesn't have. I'm going to be able to just appear somewhere. I'm going to be able to eat. I'm going to be able to be felt. Without a doubt, he came out. Because he came out, our faith is not vain. Preaching is not vain. The apostles are not false witnesses. We are not still in our sin. And hallelujah, death is not the end. It's only the beginning. Death is graduation for the believer. When you're a believer in Christ Jesus and you die, death has no sting. You just step over into eternity. You step over. You say, well, that was that. And now you're in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you believe. Now you could try to make excuses as to the resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't occur. You could try to say, you could try to rationalize it. You know, David had a revelation. Go with me to Acts 2 quick. I'm going to go here and I'm closing shortly. Whenever a preacher says I'm closing, that means they're commencing to begin to start to finish. You know, I love being a pastor more than an evangelist, because as an evangelist, I had to give everything I had all at once. But as a pastor, I can continue next week. Hallelujah. So I don't have to be in a rush. Glory to God. Acts chapter 2. Verse 22. Peter was preaching here after the day of Pentecost. He says, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spoke concerning him. This is what David said when David was alive. He was operating as a prophet. He saw into the future. Okay? David spoke concerning him. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. See, David had a revelation. You could read it in Psalm 16. But David, he had a revelation of the resurrection. He knew that the Lord would always be before him. And as a result of that, he said, my heart rejoices. I have a glad tongue. My flesh is resting in hope. My soul will not be left in hell. The Holy One will not see corruption. And he made known to me the ways of life. God wants to make known to you the ways of life today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. If you don't like your life, be born again. Start a new one. God will take your pain, your misery. He'll give you beauty for ashes. He'll pour on you the oil of joy for mourning. He'll turn your sorrow into dancing. He'll remove those heavy bands, those burdens that you've been carrying around that come with sin. He'll remove them. He'll shatter them. And he'll give you a garment of praise. He'll take your filthy rags. He'll put them in the washing machine where he pours his crimson blood on there. He pours his crimson blood on there, and they'll come out and they'll be white as snow. bright white, brighter than the noonday sun. God wants to do this for you, and it's all because, without a doubt, He came out. Because He came out, you have access to everything that God has said you can have. You can be a child of God. You can now have citizenship in heaven. Without a doubt, He came out. And David's revelation produced joy in him. Now, Pastor, how do you know that the resurrection actually occurred? Number one, he wasn't in the tomb when they went there. The stone was rolled away, and there was a Roman guard on the stone. There was a seal on the stone, and if a guard allowed his duty to fail, he would suffer death. The grave clothes were there in a neat manner. If anybody tried to come in and steal the body, they're not going to take time to fold the clothes. One time when my grandparents were in Texas, they used to have a lot there, and they would go to Texas every year for the winter. Their house was broken into. They lived on a farm, kind of out in the country, and their house was broken into while they were gone. And I tell you, those thieves were not neat. They took perfume bottles and smashed. Everything was strewn everywhere. They didn't take time to neatly open the drawer. Nothing was stolen, but they vandalized a lot of things. So because the grave clothes were intact, he rose. The stone was rolled away. People tested to the fact that he arose. The women knew that he arose. Joseph of Arimathea went and he got the body of Jesus and he put him in the tomb. So thank God, without a doubt, he came out. Now today. Today is the day of decision. Today is the day. Maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you know about God. Maybe you know that he exists. But he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to be Lord over your life. And all he wants you to do is believe in the resurrection. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Put your faith. How many believe if I stood on this chair, with a raise of your hand, how many believe if I stood on this chair it would hold me up? How come it's not holding me up now? See, so I have to put my faith in the chair, but knowing I put my faith in it, it holds me up. If you put your faith in Christ Jesus today, he will hold you up because he loves you. He cares about you. He did all this because of you. He did all that he did because of you. He suffered, died, and was buried because of you, because he loves you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.